Your congregation, please turn with me in God's holy word to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John chapter 10, we'll read the first 30 verses. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In light of that, our text will come from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if we think about that, then we also recognize that right in those words is a confession of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I would like to also confess our faith with the Church of All Ages using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, buried. In summary, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear congregation, I invite you to turn in God's holy word to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we find the Psalm of David between two other Psalms of David, uniquely placed, I believe, in God's inspired and infallible word, as Psalm 22 expresses the Good Shepherd's sufferings of yesterday, as he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And we find the bitterness and the depth of the sorrow of the soul of a suffering servant, the shepherd, the good shepherd, who gave his life for his sheep. Far away from life of communion and fellowship with his Father. And as we turn to Psalm 23, we find the good shepherds, and as he sees today a day of grace for his people, even though they walk through the valley of tears, he blesses them with great comfort as he leads them to glory, which we find in Psalm 24, saying, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. This shepherd of the sheep is also the King who comes into glory. And so I like to propose that Psalm 23 set before us here is a confession. In today, in God's people's lives today, of a time of grace as they put their trust in the Lord as their shepherd. Let us hear it in such a light. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd like to focus on verse 1 alone, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And also in light of that, in John chapter 10, we read that the good shepherd says, in verse 10, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come as a good shepherd, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. One 19th century preacher and commentator, Peroni, observed that there is no psalm in which the absence of all doubt and misgiving, fear and anxiety is so remarkable. Indeed, no wonder Spurgeon calls this psalm a pearl of psalms. This is a psalm that is filled with so much positivism. It's filled with so much joy and abundance of life in the Lord, even though there's many difficulties. And certainly the psalmist knows these difficulties, as Psalm 22 and the bitterness comes right before it. Or you could turn with me to Psalm 38. He understands very clearly in Psalm 38 as well that life is very difficult, especially on this side of eternity. As we read there in Psalm 38, verse 2, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. It's not all in every moment of our life that we have all of this abundance, as it were, sensed in our life. There is no soundness, the psalmist says, in my flesh. because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head, and as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. You see how the psalmist also recognizes those days when he needs to cry out, "Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, of my salvation." Not every day is the psalmist breathing out a confession of Psalm 23 with full confidence, as it were. And yet, Psalm 23 is there a psalm of confession for God's people. Joel Beakey writes that these six verses comprehend the highest, the deepest, the widest, the most glorious experiences into which it is possible for God to lead His people on this side of heaven. Indeed, this psalm has dried many tears and supplied the mold into which many hearts have poured out their soul into a peaceful death. This is a psalm that grants us assurance to be able to surrender our lives into the hands of the Lord, to be a balm to those who are spiritually sick, of love and of consolation to others sitting spiritually captive in the dungeon of misery. It's written that this psalm is a tonic for soldiers who are dying on the battlefields of free and sovereign grace. It has broken the chains of spiritual prisoners and made pilgrims, enlivening them with hope and re-strengthening them in their faith. Indeed, ministers have used this psalm countless times to comfort the people of God as they go through all sorts of trials in this life. Maybe this psalm has been a true comfort to you when you confess, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." There was once a little girl who was asked to recite Psalm 23. And she started to recite it and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That is all I want." Did she get it right, children? "The Lord is my shepherd. That is all I want." You'd say, no, she didn't get it quite right, did she? But indeed, there is truth to that as well. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And because of that, that means the Lord is my shepherd, that is all I want. Because truly, there is true comfort and peace and joy in understanding this psalm in such a light. David had to come to understand that also, did he not? As he had to come to understand, "The Lord is my shepherd." That shows grace right there. "The Lord is my shepherd." It begins with grace in Lord. He begins this psalm with "the Lord," all in capital letters, which refers to the triune God, the one who has created everything, the one who provides for everything, the one who's provided the covenant and the fulfillment of the covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's "the Lord is my shepherd." And who is that fulfillment? It all points to Jesus being the ultimate shepherd of the Lord. David was a shepherd. He knew what sheep were like. And he knew what the job of a shepherd was. And he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He recognized, just as we also need to recognize, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," that he must be our shepherd. That's what we read in John 10. He says, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know me. They hear my voice. They follow me." He is that good shepherd. Because he's God's anointed shepherd, the shepherd of his people. It's shown throughout the whole of Scripture. This Jesus is the shepherd, is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. The shepherd who is the great shepherd, as we read in Hebrews 13. As we see that benediction there. That "now may the God of peace, who brought up again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep." We recognize that not only is He a good shepherd, but He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd, as we find in Peter. First Peter 5, we recognize that we also have under-shepherds of this shepherd. Pastors and elders and deacons and fathers and so on. You could say all shepherd in a certain way. But here, Jesus is called the chief shepherd. Even as this chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, commits the lambs and the sheep even to disciples like Peter who have failed miserably, so He also entrusts the souls to the elders and to the pastors of the church to care for them under the chief shepherd, because He is the chief shepherd. He pictures Jesus as a royal shepherd, a shepherd who owns His sheep in John 10. They know Him, they follow Him. We read in Revelation 7 as well that the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, He will be their shepherd because He owns them not just today, not only provides for them today, but will for all eternity. And in that day, He will guide them and lead them in the paths of righteousness. He will lead them beside the still waters. He will lead them into the green pastures. He will wipe away, we read in Revelation 7, verse 17, every tear from their eye. He will provide them for all eternity. Because He owns them. He earmarks them. He turns their ears to Him and His voice, and they follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know Him as your shepherd? He's not just a shepherd. But the psalmist confessed, the Lord is my shepherd. This Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. That means we need to recognize, don't we, first of all, that we are sheep. That we are sheep, as Isaiah says, sheep that have gone astray. Sheep that are foolish. One of the most foolish of animals. Some of you might know about sheep. Maybe even raise sheep. And you know how wayward they are. How foolish they are. How they follow other sheep and go into places where they should not. Sometimes they get overfed or underfed. And sometimes their coats are too thick. And sometimes they get to be cast sheep, tipped over. And they bloat up and die. The sheep are not very... very easy to stay alive on their own. They need a shepherd or a shepherd dog or something to protect them and care for them. And so we need to recognize that we ourselves are sheep. And that's something that we don't want to do by nature, because we want to be shepherds. We don't want to be sheep. That's our rebellion already in paradise. But David recognizes, even though he is a shepherd of sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. He needs to become a personal shepherd. As a pastor or an elder or a deacon or a father, we need to recognize that he needs to be our shepherd in order to be able to serve other sheep and to care for his sheep. He is my shepherd. Can you say, Jesus is my shepherd? That He is mine. That I belong to Him. That He has royal authority over me as a shepherd. That I hear His voice. I surrender my life to Him. I surrender it to His care. Because He's my shepherd. I am His and He is mine. We read in the Song of Solomon. And that, indeed, is all I want. Because when I have the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. I will have, as we read in John 10, I will have life, and that life more abundantly. I will not want any good thing. See, by nature, we don't want a shepherd, but the text turns it into a beautiful thing. Turning our thoughts and our direction away from ourselves and our own provisions and finding it outside of ourselves in the great shepherd. And no wonder his sheep find comfort in passages that encourage them on, like Philippians 4, verse 19, that all their need will be filled according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 10, young lions lack. They suffer all kinds of hunger and need. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He gives life, abundant life. Not just as our creator, but also as our provider. I will not lack anything in life. He cares for everything. And He guarantees it, even as he points us to that on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. We worry about all kinds of little things in our life. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drive, what kind of house we're going to live in. You figure it all out. But He says, no, you don't have to worry about these things. Why? Because He provides for His flock. We hope to sing from Psalter 37 afterwards. And we sing, and Lord willing, we will be able to sing these things and these words, that how the Lord will not forsake His children, His sheep. Notice here, I'll just read it right off. I have not seen, though, since my youth, full many years have fled, the saint forsaken, nor beheld his children begging bread. He provides every good thing. He provides for all our need through His care for us. It teaches us true contentment. It teaches us true submission to the Lord. It causes us to put our full confidence and our full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would depend on Him as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But really, I don't believe this psalm is focused on material things. Yes, we can see material things develop throughout. But it focuses us to the spiritual blessings that are available through our great shepherd. They will not lack anything as far as their soul's needs and their soul's salvation is concerned. Everything that is essential for the welfare of my soul is provided through my Lord Jesus Christ, because He is my good shepherd. Paul speaks of that in Colossians 2, verse 9. That in Him the fullness of the deity dwells both bodily, and we have this strength that flows through Him, belonging to Him, united to Him. That's where we find all of our hope. That's where we find all of our strength. That's why we can be content, we read in Philippians 4. That's where we can find strength in Philippians 4, through the riches of His grace. You see, these are spiritual desires that we have of our shepherd. We shall not want. In other words, we shall not want his pardoning grace to forgive us for all of our sins when we were wayward sheep, when our sins rise up against us, as we read it in Psalm 38. Then we know that our shepherd forgives through His pardoning grace. He restores us. He restores us in His grace to return us to His fold when we are backsliding. He consoles us by His grace to heal the brokenhearted. He upholds us in His grace to strengthen us in times of trouble and of temptation. He prevents us even in times of temptation to keep us from sin. He accompanies us by His hand moment by moment as He sends us His Holy Spirit as a good shepherd to lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's our shepherd who sends His Spirit to comfort and guide, strengthen and assure us, and to cause us to exclaim, "My grace, His grace is sufficient for me in my weakness." Doesn't He? We should just look at Psalm 23 a little bit more closely and in its context. Doesn't he fill us with all of these spiritual blessings as He gathers us as sheep, His children, around His table, as it were? Look at Psalm 23 with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And He shows us and walks with us through this psalm, every place we shall not want. Notice verse 2a. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, He provides me spiritual rest. Isn't He doing that even today as He brings us into the green pastures of His Word and He shows us from His Word that we can rest in the Lord Jesus Christ as our good shepherd? Doesn't He bring us to places of spiritual refreshment? He leads me beside the still waters of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, refreshing my soul, encouraging me on. Doesn't He lead me to spiritual restoration? Verse 3, He restores my soul. Doesn't He bring us to a place of spiritual righteousness as He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake? He guides me through this life. Doesn't He show me that there's spiritual protection and closeness even during the most difficult times of my life? As I even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. He's close to me, and He's discipling me and disciplining me, even to my comfort, as His rod and staff, they comfort me. Doesn't He show us how He provides us with all sorts of spiritual provision? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. There's spiritual provision from the Lord. And goodness and mercy in this life. It leads me all the way to eternity and the knowledge that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you just to think about this for just one moment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Have you as a congregation in Monarch ever been left begging bread? Now I'm not talking about physical bread, but spiritual bread. Have you? Have you not the preaching of the gospel from week to week? Have you not catechism instruction? Have you not Bible studies to go to and prayer meetings to attend? Do you not have Christian education in your communities to send your children to? Are you lacking any good thing from the Lord? As you have a pastor to lead you from week to week? And a consistory to set before you the sacraments of our Lord Jesus Christ in way of baptism, in the way of the Lord's Supper, filling you with every good thing spiritually, let alone physically. Can you not confess with me today, the Lord is my shepherd, and I am not wanting any good thing? Have you confessed this with me today? Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what our problem really is? We need to lay down our shepherdhood and surrender that to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I no longer need to be a shepherd. I will simply be your sheep. That's where it begins. To bow under Christ, the good, the great, yea, the chief shepherd, surrendering all to Him. Maybe you, like many others, struggle to confess this today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe you've gone through difficult times in your life. And maybe you have to step back and say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. And you say, I'm wanting great things. I'm lacking health. Sorrowing. There's brokenness in my life, in relationships, or whatever it would be. And it seems as if the Lord is so far from me because of my sins. They keep rising up against me. And maybe you do struggle with knowing the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And maybe you don't sense that abundant life that Jesus is promising, that I come to give my sheep abundant life. And you struggle with that very thing. But can we not confess that when we do struggle with those things, that the Lord is driving us to the shepherd? He's stripping us of our shepherdhood and making us as His sheep dependent upon Him. Can you also confess that? Does He not use many times dark ways and dark valleys and deep valleys as He leads us through this life? Does He not lead us by His rod and His staff? But can you say that they comfort you? Comforting you with His presence, even through these difficult times and these afflictions. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He promises to be with you in those trials. Has He not been faithful? Have you seen His children lacking bread? Lacking the presence of the shepherd? I can assure you, dear congregation, as a pastor, as you walk alongside people who are going through difficult trials, you never see them so close to the shepherd. What a blessed place to be. You see those sheep that are wounded? They maybe got their leg caught in a snare. What happens to those sheep? The shepherd takes them in his arms and he carries them, nurturing them across the rough terrain and through the valleys, until they find a nice place of pasture. Our shepherd does the same thing. He takes those broken, wounded sheep and he carries them close to his heart, tenderly, lovingly. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. No matter what life brings my way, I will humble myself in closeness to the shepherd, that He might bring me to that earth, to that heavenly inheritance in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 78, we read these encouraging words in verse 52. But He has made His own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea, it overwhelmed their enemies. And He brought them to the border of His sanctuary, even to this mountain, which His right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. He cared for His sheep. We know the history of that psalm, don't we, dear congregation? We know how the history of Israel, coming out of Egypt, being led as His sheep through the wilderness, even to the promised land, so He leads His sheep in His protecting grace. And sometimes He doesn't lead us down broad ways, as we heard this morning, but He leads us through desert places, through the wildernesses, that we might trust in Him as He brings us to glory. The Lord is my shepherd. That is all I want, because then I will lack no good thing. I don't know each and every one of you personally. I don't know where you are in this life. I don't know if you can confess Psalm 23. Maybe you've memorized it and you know it in your mind, but it's never entered your heart. And it certainly hasn't affected your feet. But if you don't know this shepherd, I ask you today to turn to this shepherd. He's calling. Do you not hear his voice? Will you not hear his voice? Or will you harden your heart? Follow this shepherd. Listen to the shepherd. And realize just how empty your life is and your existence is without this shepherding care. Because where will you go when all of a sudden you find yourself lost as a sheep? No way to protect yourself from the wolves. No way to provide for yourself for time or for eternity. But to never find any fulfillment again in your life. See, when we have Him as our shepherd, no matter what, where we are, or what happens to us, He leads us as the good shepherd of His sheep. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 101 of